Okay, so welcome to episode 9. We're back and I've got Josh Smith with me today. It's a bit of a different one because, Josh, you work at, well, you're a rugby coach and you're currently just completing your 1-year master's at Leeds Beckett Uni. So, firstly, how are you? How have you been during all this?
Yeah, good, mate.
And on in the world?
Yeah, good. It's been a bit of a strange one for me, as in I've been able to properly get down with finishing all this masters and everything. So it's been quite nice, and actually taking some time off the coaching and just doing the work. But quite strange in a way that you're learning all these new concepts and really putting it to play, but not actually being able to go out there and to do anything. It was only yesterday the RFU have sort of moved on to the following stage where we could start training things that actually start looking like rugby. So yeah, it's been strange, but yeah, not too bad.
Slowly but surely we're getting back.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously you've just met coach rugby and you're at uni. Just tell us a bit about your coaching journey and experience so far. So from when you started, to like the age you started at coaching, all the way up till now.
Sure. So I am a rugby player as well. I've played from when I was about 7, played at sort of club level and then progressed on there and played for county and things like that, and really enjoyed that and had such a successful and enjoyable junior sort of rugby experience that I then started doing a BTEC in sport at college, and sort of got exposed to a little bit of coaching there. Really enjoyed it. So, and my junior coach was then coaching an under 15s side at my junior club at the same time. So I asked if I could go along and help him out and do a bit there. And that's kind of where it all really started. And then I decided to do my level 2 coaching. So you could go in at level 1 or 2. Yeah. And I did that, really enjoyed it. And then sort of from there, sort of got the bug for it and wanted to continue really. So decided to then go to Leeds Beckett for a combination of reasons. It was a really good rugby program. So I was still playing rugby. So I went along there, played rugby for 3 years of my undergrad degree whilst coaching as well. So doing bits of coaching in sort of local clubs and things like that, in schools. And then during my master's, I had such a positive experience with my undergrad that I then decided to stay on and do the 1-year master's and then really sort of take a bit of time off playing rugby and focus on the coaching, and then was allowed the opportunity to coach the 4th team at Beckett there. So we run something like 5 or 6 teams in the men's. In the men's setup, so it's quite a big program with some really, really great coaches there, and yeah, it's been a really enjoyable experience so far. It's quite a short sort of coaching career. I didn't really get started until I'd gone to uni, and then even more so this sort of master's year has been a massive leap of sort of responsibility for coaching and sort of allowed to do my own thing. So yeah, it's been really enjoyable, and just kind of definitely got the bug for it now and sort of looking for the next step, really.
Yeah, 100%. So I think, so obviously you took the uni route. Mm-hmm. Like, and obviously Twitter is a massive platform and I know so many coaches on Twitter now who are taking the uni route into coaching.
Yeah.
So what was your reason to take the uni route? Because I got my coaching job through college. So I just went to college, done my level 3 BTEC, and went straight off to coaching and to work.
Yeah, so I think the reason behind it was, and this isn't to badmouth the RFU, and I think they do some fantastic coaching things, but when I did my level 2, it was very much a case of, it was over 3 weekends, it was about 6 hours a day, across 3 days, across these 3 weekends. And then at the end of it, you were deemed a competent coach, which now looking back on what I know, was I a competent coach? Probably not at all. But yeah, I was technically a level 2 qualified coach. And I think The main thing I've learned with coaching at university is it has to come with the experience and the constant reflection and the constant gaining of knowledge. And I think that's what university gave you, is 3 years of learning, reflecting on it, putting it into practice, and it being a 3 year, like almost like a 3 year course. Right. Well, it obviously is a 3 year course, but unlike a level two where you can do it in 3 weekends, it would
Yeah.
that constant ability and almost support around you.
Yeah,
I
so
really
you're
like
getting more, you feel like you're getting more out of it,
yeah,
more experience and more learning.
definitely. And I think I think where I am now as a coach compared to where I was is leaps and bounds. And I know that there's still so much more, so much more experience, so much more knowledge that I need to get into to order where I want to be. And yeah, I think it's such an invaluable, I know it's not the only way to sort of go and do coaching, but I think it was a really nice support frame to learn from. And I think that the one thing that was really good that I didn't expect to learn is being involved with so many coaches not from a rugby background. So fantastic to learn from the rugby coaches, but a lot of my knowledge from rugby had come from playing or coaches that I picked up on things and how they did things. But sort of understanding that actually, if you're only ever going to be involved with rugby coaches, you're only ever going to do what rugby do, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but we can see from so many sports where you can pick up so many things from football, hockey, even how athletics work and how they train certain things. If you and that's what's been fantastic is to learn from so many different coaches about how they do different things, how even player athlete relationships, things like
Yeah, and you
that.
can put it into your own practices.
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that was fantastic as well. And yeah, really, really great. And sometimes perhaps more interesting to hear from those guys rather than necessarily the constant conversations you have within rugby. It's quite refreshing to hear something new. So, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So basically, I was a football, well, I am a football coach. I've done my FA qualifications and whatnot. And the only thing I knew was football.
Yeah.
So I went on into PE teaching. Now that's my full-time job. And I feel like I know so much more just about just observing other coaches and whatnot. And I feel like I know so much more.
Yeah.
And doing that, I feel like I can put them practices that we do for hockey or netball or tennis. You can also use them practices in football.
Massively, massively.
Or even for you, rugby.
I think as well is now so much sport is looking at, while there's a lot of professionalism and people want to get into professional sides of sport, really early, and you look at some of the ages, some of these football academies are picking up kids, but a lot of sports benefit from sampling and what you can learn from other things and trying loads of different sports. I mean, playing cricket as a young kid, your hand-eye coordination and things like that, and actually being able to grab a ball and an object movement, things like that that you get from different sports is so transferable into other sports. And I think if you can learn that as a coach, it's only going to benefit yourself when you then come to the actual having athletes that can do all these different range of movements. And I think when you look at it is what we talk a lot about on the master's course is finding solutions to problems. And those solutions can perhaps be found in a different way or through different sports that then can be transferred into it rather than necessarily just looking through the lens of rugby. So that's been really interesting. But yeah, I think being able to coach different sports and sampling and provide opportunity. And I think as well is from a motivation perspective is you've got to keep things fresh for athletes. No one wants to be doing the same session over and over, and having that knowledge base of being able to pick up some new things. There's a chap that I work with, Harrison, who's introduced some mad concepts this year, and that I thought, this is never going to work, but actually it's come in and the lads have really engaged with it because it's new and it's refreshing and he's thought about different things outside of rugby. And that's massively important. It's not necessarily about the session and what they're learning, but how they're engaging with it and challenge points and is it new? So yeah, I'm definitely a big advocate of that.
Yeah, 100%. So obviously that's kind of like a piece of advice for anyone who's listening, because I know people who listen to this podcast are, most of them are at kind of like my age. They're like late teens, so about 17 to 20 odd.
Yeah.
And people who listen to this podcast want to get into coaching or obviously are part of sport. So listening to this, I think, would be a massive step. So getting into other sports, learning how they work, their philosophies and whatnot, because they're all kind of the same, I think. Just like we've mentioned, I think they're all kind of the same, because you can always use a cricket session in a rugby session or a football session.
Exactly.
You can always use different types of sessions in top sport.
Yeah. What we looked at as well is some of the stuff we've touched on the Masters is breaking down the sport's complexity and what you're actually trying to do. And a lot of the things that a lot of sports are, you know, a shared pitch where you're trying to beat defenders, you're trying to get behind the defence. And if you actually look, and there's a fair few solutions that, while offsides and things like that come into play, I mean, hockey and football are, you know, fairly similar in certain ways, but how often do hockey and football coaches link up and see how they have those sort of solutions? But actually, look at the game, and it's very similar, and you think, well, you know, there's so much opportunity to learn from different coaches and players, and I think that's one thing that I think... something I'd like to carry with myself and probably offer as a bit of advice is go and challenge yourself and put yourself in different situations, observe sort of different sports, because you can learn so much from them if you go in with the right mindset.
Yeah, definitely. Now, people also listen to this would also want to, some of them are in uni or looking to go into uni, etc. What is your, just give us a base of your everyday uni life, because obviously all unis are different, but they all have that similar structure.
Yeah. So it changed a bit from the undergrad to the masters, just because the nature of what the masters offers. A lot of the people on it were working in full time in, some of them in professional sport or elite level sports or sports development. So we're only allowed to work or only around a certain amount of time. So we might be in twice a month. But I'll tell a little bit about the undergrad. Was a couple of times a week. Four or five times a week with lectures and seminars. But I think the main thing, and I can't speak for every sort of course, but I know for my course, was using these opportunities and these hour-long sessions to learn a few concepts or to understand it. But the main thing was then, well, this is all fantastic, but you now need to take this concept and go away and apply it. And you could see the difference between the people that were actively coaching in sports and engaging outside of the university, what you had to do, and the ones that weren't. And the whole platform, the whole structure is around take these concepts, take these ideas, go and apply them, see if they work, see if they don't, reflect on it and come back with something new. And that's kind of how it works. And that's sort of even more exaggerated in the masters, because we'd meet maybe twice, three times a month. So you then go and do that, but then have to come back with some sort of learning. And I think the main thing you learn from in the masters, while it was good to bring things that worked, it was also good to bring problems. So what was going wrong, and then learning from people as well. Yeah. How can we apply some of the theories, some of the ways that we think, and apply that to our situations to correct those problems? Because if you actually look at coaching, or my personal belief is, it's just a series of problems we need to solve, whether that's athlete relationships, whether that's tactical problems on the pitch, whether it's getting one lad stronger or recovering from an injury. It's just a load of problems we need to solve.
And
that's kind of the way we thought about it on this Masters, was how are we going to solve these problems with some of the ways or some of the options that we've got and some theories. So that's kind of a brief idea. Obviously, I played rugby whilst I was doing my undergrad. So I had a pretty full-on week of training three times and then a bit of gym in there. And then I was coaching at a local club as well. So that was the other day. So it was pretty full-on. But by having that, so many learning opportunities, whether it was my playing or being involved, being coached by people or actively coaching. They're just 100%. All really valuable learning opportunities.
So do you think playing rugby made you have that extra step going into uni, on going onto your course?
Yeah, I mean, it's, well, I have this conversation with a lot of people. It definitely made me want to do it. But also, I think what's an interesting conversation is, am I a good coach because I play rugby? And we've had this conversation so many times. Or are people good coaches because they play that sport? And I think it's the whole university experience has made me realise it's, you know, you might have a good knowledge base of the sport, but it doesn't necessarily mean you are a good coach because of what you have to do and how you develop and how you work with people. It's completely different. And while you might have, you know, understand the game well, and that is a benefit of playing, is, you know, you might know how referees work, or for in rugby, for example, how the new breakdown rules are interpreted, and things like that. I mean, but it doesn't necessarily then teach you how to take this knowledge and work with people and provide them opportunities to learn.
Yeah.
Which I think it's a very interesting topic, and something that's often brought up is, you look at, you know, especially in the Premier League, a lot of ex-football players that are now, you know, Frank Lampard, for example, and I'm not saying he's not a good coach. You know, I'm a Chelsea fan as well, and I think he's done some fantastic things, but he's definitely had to work at being a coach and not just relying on the fact that he was a good football player.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, yeah, it's an interesting topic, definitely.
Because I know, obviously, you're working at Tottenham. You know Ryan Mason?
Yes, yeah.
When he had to retire through his head injury. I remember at Tottenham, he got the under-18 job. When he retired, when he came out through his injury and whatnot, and he retired from football, Spurs contacted him straight away and was like, let's get you into the under-18 setup.
Yeah.
Now I think he's head of youth academy, youth of the under-23s.
Yeah.
He's head of the under-23s now. So I think definitely playing can give you that extra step, especially professionally.
Yeah. Oh, and I think as well, as you understand the environment you're working in, you know,
yeah,
you understand exactly, the day-to-day pressures, the struggles, which, if you're a coach not having been in that environment, it is difficult to replicate. And the only way you can do that is then being in that environment and learning from it. So it's
different. You know, like they know the change of room banter they have. They know the setting of the environment that they can have after a loss, or even after a win. They can relate to that.
Even little things down to getting your nutrition right, sleep patterns, you know, when a player's not quite, you know, up to scratch that day and perhaps the struggles they're going under. So that's some invaluable knowledge that they have. Fatigue, things like that. But then also, you know, I don't think that you can then necessarily manage a group of players and try and necessarily provide a lot of opportunities. And I think some of the, you know, when I first started out of coaching, you look at the drills and the game-based things that I did, it was mimicking ones that I'd been involved in, because I'd enjoyed them and I thought they were good, but it didn't necessarily mean it was right for the group. And it's about understanding that you need to create these opportunities and learning environments for the group that's specific, and you can't just necessarily take something from one group and put it in another group.
100%. You got to have a session that's right for them.
Yeah, exactly. And that
you've got to see their problems and fix it with the session.
And that comes from experience, knowing what sessions work well, what doesn't work well. You know, I think if you're a coach and you think that everything's going to go right all the time, then you're a bit of an idiot, because you will have sessions that don't work, and you've got to learn from them and go, right, well, that didn't work. Now I can apply something new. You know, and I think that
adaptability.
You've got to try those things as well, because you'll constantly do the same drills, but.
Or
games, but I think it's I think that there's definitely a conversation that to be had there, that I think that because you play at a high level doesn't necessarily mean you're a good coach. It doesn't mean you're a bad coach, and they can definitely bring a lot of things to the environment.
Yeah, definitely. Now, obviously, you being a coach, would you say you have a philosophy in your coaching style, or the way you want your team to play?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this a lot, and I've spoken with my friend Sam a lot about it, and it's something that you're very much encouraged to find and to have, but not really understood. But it's difficult to define what a philosophy is. So I'd listen to a lot of people in rugby and what their sort of idea of a philosophy is. And what I quite liked is how it's split up into sort of a philosophy about people and a squad and how they go about doing things. And then a philosophy of how I like to see the game played and how what I like players. So I split it into to two sort of things. So from a game perspective, I really like to encourage everyone to have a really good basic skill set and everyone to be able to and willing to try new things and not pigeonhole players into certain positions as well. So at the age of 13, if you say you're a centre back, then I don't expect you to then be a centre back for the next 3 or 4 years. I want you to try new things. And I think that's the same in rugby. You know, the amount of times I've seen players go from forwards to backs, wings to, you know, I myself started off as a fullback, moved into the centre, and now I'm playing back row. They're very different positions because coaches wanted me to try new things. So that's sort of from a game perspective. But then from a player perspective, I think certain philosophies, it really depends on your environment you're in, whether that's development or sort of a game where, you know, the players are there want to win. And I think it really comes from working with the players to develop a certain philosophy. So, you know, wanting players to work hard, wanting to constantly be the best that they want to be, and to, whether that's just winning a Sunday league game or whether that's, you know, looking to really progress their kicking game or the left-hand pass, just that constant drive to want to be better. I think that's something that's massively important, because as soon as you lose that, then how do you encourage a good training session if they to actively get better or want to be better at it? So that's something I'd quite like. So yeah, I think it's difficult to define what a philosophy is because so many things sort of fit into it. And I think the main thing is to really be aware of the situation, the environment you're in, because you can't necessarily take a philosophy. There's certain things that you can probably apply, like wanting players to have a good skill set around. But I think it's about adapting to the environment you're in and working with the players rather than imparting this is how I work. And it more being a relationship between you and the players that you're with.
Yeah, it kind of comes down to the player's mentality as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean,
because if they're not agreeing with how you work, then it's not going to work.
I think a lot of people see coaching as the coach and the players, but actually I think a good mindset is, and I think it worked well for me at uni because I played with a lot of the players that I now coach this year, so I like to think I had a really good coach athlete relationship with them because they saw me as a friend. So it wasn't a case of this is my knowledge and now you need to learn it. It's okay, well, let's work together so that we can work out what's the best thing for us. And knowing that, you know, I'm only 24 years old and I'm a relatively new coach, I don't have all the answers. Let's work together to try and to find out the best way we can do this. Was that session fun? Was it not? Because you want the most, you know, beneficial environment, fun environment, but also understanding that coaching is a massively social, it's a social job, isn't it? It's about creating relationships with people. You often hear about in football that you know, the coach has lost the dressing room, and you think, well, you know, that's the main job, isn't it? Really, the coach is to work with the players and to want them to get better and have that constant, you know, that relationship. So that's the main role, I think, of the coach, and then everything else fits around that.
I think as well, obviously, you know a bit about football. You're a Chelsea fan. When Tottenham had Pochettino in, I think where we had him for, what was it, five seasons? Where we had him for about 5 years. I think players just, with the same philosophy year in, year out, the same routines, the same people communication. I think the players just got bored of it.
Yeah.
And they wanted someone to come in and go, because I think when Pochettino came into the club, he was there just to develop us, because we were a young team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted to get further up in the table, whatever. So he was just there just to develop us. And then come 5 years, everyone's 26, 27 years old. They want to win trophies.
Yeah. I think that's the...
So I think, yeah, well, I think it just comes down to the length of... Or the coach adapting to the years going on and how the players change.
Yeah, I think that's the toughest job in sport, isn't it? It's so easy to sort of rest on your laurels as a coach and go, that session worked well, so we'll do it again, and realising that you've got to keep things fresh, they've got to be innovative, but yet you've still got to try and achieve certain things without doing things new for the sake of it being new. It's still got to be beneficial. I mean, you look at how football's changed massively in the Premier League. You know, you can actively see how the game changes in 3 or 4 years, and it's about the coach adapting to that, adapting to... you know, one of my lecturers, Mike Ashford, just wrote a paper on players' ability to adapt to rule changes, and how well is that actively coached. And a lot of the findings are on, they expect the players to be able to adapt to those rule changes, rather than the coaches actively creating environments where they can learn to adapt to those rule changes. They accept that they think it's almost a player-centered, you know, they must do the learning without providing opportunities for them to learn. So it's really interesting. I think that, you know, that's probably one of the hardest jobs as a coach, is being innovative yet making it beneficial and not just making it new for the sake of it being new.
100%, especially in this modern day, because you see now, well, I'm coming back to football again, but you see now in football, fullbacks aren't fullbacks anymore. Right back or left backs, they're not right backs or left backs anymore.
Yeah.
They're wing backs. They're more wingers now.
Yeah.
So it's about... when you have a player who's played left back, literally just in a back four his whole life, how can you make, or how can you help him adapt to becoming a left wing back?
And I think as well as how you look at how Pep sort of brought in a certain style of football that was new to English football and the way that he wanted to, and no one knew how to deal with it at first. And then as the years go on, the job of the coach is to be able to work out how to tactically stop them from doing that. So you then stop them from doing that. And now Pep's got a job on his hands to go, well, how do I now then create something new or stop them from stopping me doing that again? And it's constantly understanding that the game is changing. And for every time you try and attack a certain way, they're going to now try and stop you from doing that. And if they do it effectively, you've now got to try something new. And that has to be led by the coach and the coaching staff to understand that they're, you know, the game is going to change. People are going to stop you. That's their main aim, is to stop you doing what you want to do. I think, yeah, you can often see how some coaches play a game that's almost not around anymore, that trying to do things that aren't new, and you know, and it gets...
You've got to have a bit of a backup plan.
It gets found out, doesn't it? It gets found out massively.
Exactly. So, moving on now, are you still completing your masters, or have you completed them?
Yeah, so the masters works for the 1 year. It works from September. So I started in September and it works through to September. So I've literally done all my reports and presentations, and I've just finished my my sort of research project. My dissertation's due in, well, now October. So that's my big 15,000 word piece that I'm finishing.
So once you finish all that, what's your future goals? So when you come out of uni, what's your aim?
So I've sort of... I want to get involved into some sort of academies and try and... Well, I've had a fair bit of coaching experience. I've done a bit of uni and sort of local clubs and things like that. I'd really like to test myself and learn from a lot of people in academies. So I've been in sort of touch with some people and trying to find some opportunities. Obviously, there's minimal academies in rugby. Well, I think there's something like 14 across England. You know, when you compare that to perhaps football or something, there's less. But I think that's something that would be nice. And it's difficult to necessarily... I don't know necessarily where I see myself in 5 years' time. It's perhaps how I like to do things is step by step. So I've got a bit of a plan in that I kind of want to possibly look into that sort of talent development. That's the real interest of mine. That's what I'm doing my dissertation on. So I like the talent development, looking into academies and how they work, and trying to develop my coaching skills there, and then see where that really takes me and the opportunities. I know, things are limited within the OFU at the moment because of everything that's going on. So it's sort of understanding where I can and go with this coaching and what opportunities are afforded to me. I know I want to complete my level three as well, which I need to be in a club for that. So that's, I think that's about a year long to complete. So that's sort of my next step. But yeah, so a few options. But yeah, quite interesting really, to see where
Yeah, just taking it step by step, I think, is the best route to take, taking it step by step, because you see so many young coaches now who just want their qualifications just to say that they have it. So they're always rushing to get their level ones or their level twos and just keep going up and up and up. But why? Like, just to say you've got a piece of paper.
I think the main thing is, and what I've learned from so many people is, it really doesn't matter what level you've got. It's how you use that. No one's going to mark you down because you're a certain level coach. Might get you the interview, but realistically, it's how well you actually develop those players and how you can work with them. It's not a job that you get that piece of paper that says, "I am a level three coach," and you go from there. It's how you can then actually work on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. So
Exactly, yeah. And I think experience counts as well massively.
it's huge. It's everything. It's that's what the basis of the whole of the sports coaching courses at Beckett have been based around. And I think it's the most important thing in coaching is, you very rarely do you see a coach that's been coaching for 1 year and he's won everything. It's things that have been worked at for years at a time, and people have really developed and worked out how, you need to work out what works, what doesn't work, how to deal with certain players, how to deal with other players, different environments. It can't be learned in a short period of time.
Yeah, 100%. And just to end on this episode, which has been a great one, what have you got any advice for anyone who is trying to take a similar route to you? So anyone who's listening to this might want to take the uni, route. Have you got any advice for them?
Yeah, I think just constantly apply what you're learning. I think the most important thing, and I think it's been a realization during this whole lockdown, is I've learned so much, but it's only useful when you can go out there and do it. And that's what's been the most frustrating thing. So every time you learn something, go and apply it, go and see if it works, see if it doesn't work, reflect on it. That's the most important thing, I think, is reflect on it, and reflect on it for you. What might work for someone else might not work for you. And understand that, and I think the other thing is emphasis on the relationship between the coach and the athlete, and understanding that coaching is a massively social role, and that has to be worked at as well. It's not necessarily something that you have, but yeah, I think the university is a fantastic option. I know it's not the option for everyone, but I definitely recommend it. I've had such a positive experience with it, and yeah, I think finally is see what other sports are doing, learn from other sports. I think if you constantly stay in your sport, you'll only ever do what that sport are doing. It'd be great to try new things, and it's interesting as well to get out there. I think the best thing from coaching and like talking to people like yourself and getting on Twitter is learning from loads of different people. People are really helpful. And willing to get involved in coaching, and it's a really nice environment to be in. So learn from everyone else and just see everything as a learning opportunity.
100%. Josh, it's been a pleasure having you on. I really appreciate it. And I think people who listen to this will have a better understanding on the uni route and relationships, really, within coaches. So thanks a lot for coming on.
Cheers, thank you. I've enjoyed it, mate.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.